don't have to earn the right to live in my family. It is theirs by right. And that's how it is with God. Once we are trusting in Christ, we have a place in the family. We are welcome. So we shouldn't live like slaves. So firstly then, the Galatians have been led astray. Chapter 3, verse 1. They've been bewitched. False teaching is like witchcraft. They have had the cross of Jesus clearly taught to them, placarded to them. It's been taught to them that we come into God's family on the basis of Jesus' death on the cross. He pays for our sin. We don't have to pay for our sin with religion. They've received the Spirit by trusting in Jesus, verse 2. Note that if you believe the gospel, you receive the Spirit. This has happened to the Galatians. And now they are foolish enough to go back to mere religious works, legalism. They may have believed in vain. Verse 4. Imagine that. You become a Christian. You are saved from God's wrath, for God's heaven, for relationship with God as his child. You've experienced all that by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has done that work in your life. He brought you to a place where you trusted in Christ. Verse 5, God has done so much amongst them by his Spirit. Amazing miracles. All of that has happened. And now they're thinking, I think I'll just go back to Judaism. Back to rules and regulations. And yet, I've known Christians to do it. Very notably, I led a lady to Christ from a Mormon background. Mormonism is a cult, very dangerous cult. It does a lot of damage. And this lady came to see that Jesus had died for her on the cross. She no longer needed to earn her salvation. She received God's gift of grace. I baptized her. And what did she do? She went back to Mormonism, back to rules and regulations, back, in fact, to what felt safe to her. You may think that's an extreme case, but I've known ordinary evangelicals like us, and they've definitely developed a system of rule-keeping. Obedience to Jesus as king is good. Earning salvation by religious rules is bad. The principle is in verse 6. We're to be like Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, he put his trust in God and God made him righteous. God gave him righteousness. So here we are, in the filth of our sin, cut off from God. How do we address that situation? Do we A, adopt religious rules and regulations? B, trust in Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross? When we do that, the second option, we become children of Abraham. Verses 7 to 9. That's an amazing statement. The Jew would have said, I'm a child of Abraham because I was born Jewish and I've been circumcised. Paul is now saying the true child of Abraham is the person who has faith like Abraham. A child of Abraham is a child of God. Whereas, verse 10, those who rely on good works are under a curse. The Jewish person who thinks they're earning salvation by keeping law is not blessed. They are actually cursed. The Mormon who thinks they're earning salvation by keeping rules is actually cursed. The evangelical who goes back to mere religious rule keeping is cursed. Why, verse 10? Because cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Get the point? Unless you keep every one of God's rules perfectly, you are cursed. You are heading for hell. So don't try and get right with God that way. It's impossible, verse 11. Only those who have faith in Jesus are justified, declared innocent. There's only one way to escape God's curse, and that is to trust in Jesus. Why? Verse 12 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by taking God's curse on himself on the cross. This is the only way to be set free from the curse. It's an Old Testament principle that failure to keep the law invokes God's curse on your life. It is also an Old Testament principle that if you are hanged on a tree or a cross or a pole, you are cursed. In this way, Jesus took our curse. Jesus took our curse so that we might have his blessing. Ronald Reagan was president of the United States in the 1980s. He was interviewed on television when his wife was ill. And he said that if he could, he would have taken his wife's illness. The Apostle Paul says something similar in Romans 9. He says that he wishes he himself could be cursed, damned to hell, so that his own people, the Jews, might be saved. But Ronald Reagan couldn't take his wife's illness. And Paul couldn't take the curse of the Jewish nation. But Jesus could take our curse. He did take our curse. He is God. As God, he takes the punishment for our sin so that we might be children of God. Verse 14, we can be just as blessed as Abraham. So secondly, they should have stuck to God's original plan. Chapter 3, verse 15 and following. The point is that God's original plan was always to save a people by faith. We were always meant to receive salvation, like Abraham, as a gift, and not to earn salvation through the law. Verse 15, Paul uses an example from life. Once a human covenant has been made, it cannot be changed. Now, I know there are ways of changing a legal document, but marriage is a covenant. My marriage certificate tells me I'm married to Becca. I can't change that. I can't rub out Becca's name and write someone else's name. Well, verse 16, God's promises to Abraham are the original covenant. God promised to bless Abraham and his seed, that is Christ. God promised to bless Christ. Those who are in Christ, in relationship with Christ are blessed. That's the covenant. That's the original document. Verse 17, the law came 430 years later. But it does not change the original covenant. It does not change the fact that God always planned to save through faith in Jesus. The law does not set aside the covenant. Verse 18, the inheritance of heaven always depended on the original promise. God gave the inheritance to Abraham through a promise. We're to look to Abraham for our example, not in this instance to Moses, who gave the law. Okay, you say, so why was the law given? It was given to show us our need of Jesus. It was added because of transgression, in verse 19. It was added because the law restrains our sin. The fact that I know that I'll be punished if I break the speed limit or park where I shouldn't sometimes makes me obey the law. Sometimes it improves my behavior. Sometimes it doesn't, because we're all lawbreakers by nature. The law was added until the seed had come, until Jesus had come. It's certainly not opposed to the promises of God, verse 21, but Scripture, verse 22, locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised might be given to those who believe. So that brings us to our third point. We can be God's children. Verse 23, before the gospel of faith in Jesus, people were locked up by the law. We were locked up under sin, in verse 22. We were locked up by the law, in verse 23. That's what you're choosing if you choose rule keeping. You're choosing to be in custody. Then Paul changes the picture, verse 24. The law was our guardian until Christ came. This can also be translated, the law was our school teacher, pointing us to Christ. And now that we have faith in Jesus, we no longer have a guardian, we have a parent. Verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. There's the wonderful offer. You're not a child of God unless you have faith in Jesus. But if you do have faith in Jesus, why would you go back to the prison cell? You've been clothed with Christ, symbolized by baptism in verse 27. Not that baptism saves, faith saves. But the picture is something like this. You go into the baptismal pool in dirty clothes. My son occasionally works for James Northen's pig farm. Do you know, he leaves his shoes outside when he comes home. They are so smelly. He comes in from work absolutely stinking. Our sin is like clothes that have been on the pig farm. That's how you go into the baptismal pool. Absolutely stinking. But then you come out clothed, not just with the finest clothes from Harrods. They are nothing compared to this. You come out of the baptismal pool clothed with Jesus himself. So that when the Father looks at us, he does not see our sin. He does not smell the pigs. He sees Jesus. We smell like Jesus. We have the aroma of Christ. We are the aroma of Christ. And all people are welcome to come for this, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You see this very much in church life. I once worked for St. Michael's Chester Square, Belgravia. I dealt with royalty, government ministers, former prime ministers, very famous celebrities like Jules Holland and Joan Rivers, a family who spent £8,000 on the flowers alone for a memorial service, and this was 23 years ago. And yet, on the church house party, they were the wealthy of Belgravia eating with the families from the council estate. That's the church. Doesn't matter what your background is, we are all one in Christ Jesus. There are no social obstacles to faith in Jesus. Verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are in Christ. We will inherit the new creation with him. I wonder what you're hoping to inherit. This trumps it. That's what we have in Christ. So why would you go back to mere religious rule keeping? Into chapter 4, Paul uses the example of a child. A child, in a sense, is no different from a slave. He belongs to his parents. He can't make choices for himself. Even if he owns the whole estate, verse 2, he's under guardians and trustees. Before we were Christians, verse 3, we were like the underage child, enslaved, not just to religion, but to the elemental spiritual forces. In other words, demonic powers. Unless we are in Christ, we are controlled by powers who hate Christ. But then, verse 4, God sent Jesus, born under the law. He kept the law. He could do it. He kept the law perfectly, to redeem us from the law, verse 5, so that we might receive adoption to sonship. Remember what we said about my children earlier. They don't have to earn the right to be in my family. It is given to them. We don't have to earn the right to be in God's family. It is given to us because Jesus has redeemed us from the law. Now look what happens to you when you become a Christian, verse 6. Because we are God's sons, God sends the Spirit of his Son, Jesus, into our hearts. We know God as Father. We have the same Spirit as Jesus. That means we want to behave like Jesus. We're not miserably trying to keep laws. That would be impossible. Rather, we have the Spirit of Jesus, so now it's our joy and delight to obey him. Someone said, imagine you were a rubbish tennis player. I'm a rubbish tennis player. Imagine that you were. And then the Spirit of Andy Murray was put to live inside of you. Then Andy Murray would be playing tennis through you. Well, we have the Spirit of Jesus living in us. So we want to live and behave like Jesus. And we do. We grow in it. When we don't obey him, we feel miserable. We repent. We say sorry. We love God as our Father. We want to please him. The Spirit in our hearts is the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. That's a term of intimacy. Not over familiarity. Father is to be respected. But it is intimacy, Abba. My uncle Phil Hill lived in Israel. He would hear Jewish boys calling their dads Abba. It was unknown until Jesus came for anyone to call God Abba. But now, because of Jesus, we can know God intimately. I tell God things I don't tell anyone else. We can be more intimate with God than with anyone else. We're not slaves then, but sons and heirs, verse 7. No longer slaves to demons and false gods. We now know God. We are known by God. And the big challenge, if you're a Christian, is to believe it and live like it. Lord, I go into this day as your son. I go into this day confident of your grace, secure in your love, full of your spirit, and wanting to please Jesus. So Paul's question is, how is it that you're turning back to weak and miserable forces? Do you want to be enslaved again? If you do, well, verse 11, Paul fears he's wasted his efforts. The Galatians have been led astray. They should have stuck to God's original plan, but we can be children of God. Are you a child of God? No more important question this morning. Are you a child of God? If not, come to Christ today. Be set free from mere religion. And if you are a child of God, don't go back in your mindset to mere religion, to earning credit with God, to earning salvation. Don't go back in your mind to that. Live the life of freedom and sonship that God has for you. Absolutely certain of his grace, his love, his favor, his blessing. Saved from the curse, experiencing God's blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, grant each one of us to trust in Christ and so to be a child of God, and then to live as a son with full rights in the family. Keep us, Lord, from going back to slavery, to rules and regulations and earning credit. Thank you for what you've done for us in Jesus. Thank you for your spirit. Lord, we love you and we give you our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.